Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor.
Begin the day with a friendly voice, a companion unobtrusive.
And here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Good morning. Happy Monday to you. It is summertime today.
All week. This is a big week. This is 90.
90 degrees.
Tomorrow.
90 big ones.
I think, right, Todd? Aren't we supposed to hit 90? I think we are.
This is the earliest we've ever had it, or the warmest we've ever had it. Todd's, it's never good when Todd's out of modular capsule.
Todd, what are you doing on our side?
What are you doing here? You're scaring me, Todd. Yeah. Do this thing.
We know Brittany's not here today, so we're doing the weather. But no, I did 92 like tomorrow.
Yeah.
It's going to be hot.
Right now it's 74 in Green Bay, 73 in Appleton, 72 in Oshkosh, and the winds are from the absolute due south at 10 to 12 miles an hour.
I don't know. I got to check that. But check, okay. Check. I will.
10 to 12, Todd. 10 to 12.
I get my phone.
10 to 12.
Okay.
3-degree guarantee, 10 to 12. At 3 miles per hour guarantee.
That's right.
What do you got there, Todd?
Looks like from the south at 7.
7, that's it?
That's it, according to this.
It's a lot stronger than that. Today is Eat Your Vegetables Day.
I have 8 for the
wind.
Wind.
I'm good. 10 to 12.
You 10 to 12. Well, you're closer. Yeah. But still, you didn't make 10? Yeah. Well, 10 to 12, that would make the 3-degree. Or the 3...
MPH.
Three MPH.
Doesn't have to create the ring to it. Today is, I don't think this is a good term to use anymore. Garbage man day.
Well,
Todd?
There's a couple things wrong with that.
Okay.
It's, first of all, man.
Okay.
We don't use that anymore. Like right. When you see those signs in those small cities, men working.
Yeah.
You know those
yeah.
triangles?
Yeah.
Or those,
it's a lot of women.
Yes.
Yes.
And then they're called sanitation engineers now instead of garbage.
Absolutely.
So that is weird that they would, that's odd that they wouldn't have changed that to
yes.
Sanitation, what would you
workers,
call that?
Sanitation
workers day.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a big mob thing, you know, in New York, New Jersey.
Pretty much everywhere.
Is it?
Pretty much everywhere.
Oh, okay.
Here too?
Well.
Huh?
I don't know. I
Jim?
No, just the private. The private, right?
Is that where you got that cardboard box?
What? What's in that box, by
yeah,
the way?
Yeah. The one Milton was playing with at Christmas?
Yeah. It's just full of cash. Mm-hmm. No, you're right. I mean, it's a little bit mafia, but on the other hand, you know, you get those contracts. Those are huge, huge, huge contracts.
That's like, what I've heard.
The sanitation for
yeah.
Think
people,
about that.
People,
Jersey?
I've heard people would do a lot of things to get those contracts. Right. Yes. And if they're in danger of losing one of those contracts, things weren't so good.
Were in danger.
Have you ever listened to that? And this has to be like Rudy Giuliani's finest moment, really. And I know the 9/11 thing, but when he took down the entire mob, he took down like 5 families. That is actually pretty amazing. But it's really funny because the way they did it was they finally got into the homes mm-hmm. and tapped all their phone lines and everything. Mm-hmm. But one of the really funny things was, and there are these old Italian guys, and it's like, mm-hmm. Tony, I swear on my mother's eyes, I'm going to take it as a, you know what I mean? I mean? It's the most graphic things ever. I mean, I swear.
That,
but here's the funny part, though. So the FBI agents were talking, they're playing these and talking about how, you know, they're getting some good stuff. And then all of a sudden they're hearing from one of the guys, I don't know, Tony Giovanni or whatever, goes, something really disturbing. Somebody listen, what is, it's really disturbing. Something's happening. Are we going? He was having sex with his maid when his wife walked out the door.
But that
it's like, oh, there were things they didn't want to hear.
I know you have kids that live in New York, as do I. And when you have some time, you know, everybody goes and sees, you know, the major tourist things. But there's a mafia tour that you can take, and the guy, kind of entertaining. I mean, everybody there wants to be an actor. A lot of people there, but he like 10, 12 people. It's a walking tour. And he takes you right to that place you're talking about where John Gotti was, upstairs,
oh,
that
yeah.
old lady that tapped, it was her apartment.
Yeah.
They were downstairs, she was upstairs, and they tapped her phones. And you walk right by the place, you walk by these restaurants. And remember when, it was a few years ago, but then, you know, they riddled that guy right in front of the restaurant.
Yeah, absolutely,
and,
Little Italy.
Yeah, and they show you the picture right there, and then you're standing there, it's like, wow, that was right there.
Wow.
But that is a great walking tour. It's, I don't know, hour and a half, 2 hours, and you got to be able to, you know, walk a little bit, but... the guy's super entertaining, and Yeah, I talked to him about Whitey, you know?
Yeah.
And his brother knew him.
No kidding.
Yeah, and he's was not a good person.
Wow.
Anyway, that's a good tour to take. And, you know, everybody there is doing a side hustle,
right?
In New York. And this guy, I mean, he was trying out for theater and did some other stuff. He was actually in, like, banking before that. But really knew a lot of the back stories. And then he had, like, photos that he would show you. You're walking down and this restaurant, and then he'd show you something about that. But it was very, very cool. It's a great tour. Anyway,
I would do that.
He had the stories that some of the stuff we can't say on air, but he had some of this, like you're talking about.
And I think that'd be awesome.
Yeah, it was
I'd
great.
Love that.
Anyway,
by the way, I would always wanted to be a quote unquote sanitation guy. Back, because I mean, I told you I used to be one of those people that would drive around and see what people would put out, and I've taken furniture,
a took junk a really collector.
Old, I don't know if that's the right term, but. It's reclamation. I consider myself a reclamation engineer because I reclaim that stuff. I think I was doing society a favor.
Junk picker. Okay, but that's great. We'll call you what you want. But you would drive around the day before the garbage came out.
And yes, especially
when it's bulk pickup.
Absolutely.
You guys would always drive around. And it's amazing what you would take. But that's fine. Chairs.
I still have furniture that I...
Right.
Yeah. Old, really old stuff. Those old... You used to find a lot of... Grandma would sell the house and go to a home or something, and then have those old washstands. The kind of like if you're upstairs to the Long Branch Saloon in one of those rooms.
Right.
It's like with the picture on it. I bet I picked up 3 or 4 of those over the year.
There was a guy that would drive through our neighborhood. And this is... I'm sure he's not around anymore, but his pickup truck looked like Beverly Hills Bills.
Yeah.
He had stuff. I mean, it was stacked really, really high.
I picked up that one bike from, I think it was 1942 bike, Schwinn bike. Guy fixed it up for me beautifully. We raffled it off for a charity. I think the night of the tattoo party. Made a lot of money from it. Yeah. I love that. I'm sorry. But it's just going into a landfill.
Right. I mean, that's great. Anything we can recycle is that's good. My experience, when I look at... a garbage man day, or now, as we call it now, sanitation engineer workers day. When I got elected.
Basically they're just truck drivers now.
Yeah. You know but what I mean? Back in the day, I just want to tell you, Johnny, in 2004, we still had the two men that.
Right. They would jump out.
In the cans.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, everybody's like, oh, you know, you can't vote for Schmidt. He's the only thing about government. It's all private sector, which is probably a little bit true. So I said, you know what? If I get elected, I'm going to spend a day. You know, with every department. So I spent 24 hours with the firefighters, slept there, ate there, calls, did 24 hours with the police, which was a little tougher than I expected. Anyway, so I worked with the garbage guys. So the way it works is there's three guys, right? There's a driver and two guys on the back of the truck.
It's standing and hanging on?
Right.
Okay.
That was before.
That's old school, yeah.
That was not that long ago, if you think about
it. No, I know. I was living in Alloway when he had the guy. I was just complaining to me because I'd have so much scrap wood and things out there.
Well, the way that works is they would rotate. So you got your CDL license. So one guy would drive for an hour, and then the other guys and then you switch it.
Okay.
Well, I didn't have my CDL license.
Right.
So I was on the back
the whole time.
And then those guys, I think they kind of picked on me a little bit in retrospect. I worked the route down here on Maple and stuff.
Okay.
And you'd pick up the garbage. You take the tin can off, you know, the metal can. Fish heads and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I got the dry heaves. I'm not kidding. I did, you guys. I was like sick. And then they thought that, I think they were laughing at me a little bit.
Just that.
Brand new.
Well, you remember the guy, who was the guy who used to do Sunday morning shows, really famous, and then he died young.
Krull?
Nope. Died of a heart attack. He's from Buffalo, New York. Oh,
Tim Russert?
Tim Russert. Yeah. Tim Russert. His dad was a garbage man.
Really?
In Buffalo. And he used to work like summers with him. He said the number one thing you learned when you take off a garbage can lid, you hold it this way because there'd be rats in there sometimes.
Yeah, right.
And if you do it this way, they could jump out at you. So, I mean, that's quite the job.
Some of those guys carried pistols, not here, but I mean, in some areas because of their rats, not here.
Oh, really?
I just want to say that. I got into the whole garbage. I learned a little bit more after the fact. But anyway, I just want to say that. I don't think they treated me very well because I was on the back of the truck all 8 hours. I never got to drive.
They treated me very well.
But get this, Johnny. The next day, we went to, we're House on the Rock.
Who's, Spring Green. And
Spring
stuff
Green
like
and Frank Lloyd Wright's houses there. What's that called? His
Taliesin.
Yes, we went there. And
thank God for Todd having every answer.
I know, right? Well, I just want to say, but my point is that, so I did the garbage thing, and then we drove there. I could not get out of the car when I Because of
so
my
sore?
I was so sore.
I mean, I can imagine.
I didn't, you know, it's like, okay, kids, go in there and tell me what House on the Rock looks like.
Yeah, I believe it. I believe it.
That was work. So automated garbage pickup, and everybody's like, oh, you can't do that because it's going to take away jobs. Yeah, maybe a little bit true, but just in terms of the rotator cuff, you know, our injuries went down like thousands of dollars in the first year. So anyway, automated garbage pickup is where it's at. But we were very, very late in the game to do that. Green Bay was, and I don't know where Alloway was. But anyway, my experience when I see this today, it's still a tough job, but man, it used to be a lot.
Yeah,
I think
it's tough. I wouldn't, especially, and in the UP in those winters they have up there.
Oh, the winter, right.
And they're standing on the back, hanging on.
No, it was the summer.
I give those guys all the credit in the world.
You get these 92-degree days.
On the smell of everything, yeah. I can imagine.
Ugh. So, all right. Sanitation engineers, God bless them.
God bless you. It's your day. Apple strudel day. Can't have a bad apple strudel.
No, that's good stuff.
Animal rights week. Okay. It's also forgiveness week.
Forgiveness week.
Forgiveness week.
I've never heard of that.
Me neither. That seems a little...
Wow.
This week.
So what do you do?
Week.
Does anybody know anything about that? Do you like write a letter?
In your past.
Right.
You'd like to forgive.
I mean, is it forgiveness? So we're going to get a bunch of letters from people who've crossed us over the years?
I think it should be more people should forgive me. Hey, everybody, listen. Congratulations. Today is National Forgiveness Week.
Right. You're forgiven.
You can forgive me for everything, okay? I'm forgiving myself. There you go. Barry Manilow, 81, still going strong. Jody Whittaker,
I just want to say that Barry Manilow, that's July, right? That's next month.
Yeah.
He's coming here. $265. I was going to get you tickets for your birthday.
I'm not going
out. I know. I looked at that.
These ticket prices for concerts have gotten beyond anything ever.
Yeah, that's...
Ever.
Actress Jody Whittaker right there.
Jody Whittaker. Who is she?
That's her.
Yeah, I don't recognize her. Was she had anything big? Todd, did you put me on to Arrested Development?
I don't know.
Did you put me on?
No, it wasn't me.
But funny show.
Yeah, I've heard of that.
You know, another one I've been watching that's funny is Space Force. Have you seen that with Steve Carell?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Have you seen that one?
Yeah.
That one's funny, too.
Who is this Todd? Who's this Jody?
Jody Whittaker, she's an actress. She's done a few things, primarily in the UK, but also here in the U.S.
All right.
I thought for sure John would know who
she was. No, I don't get that.
She looks like your type, John.
What is that supposed to mean?
She's just, I don't know, young, attractive. I don't know.
Yeah, because that's not most guys. That's not their type. Well, thanks for that, Jim. Okay. We got a quick break. We got a full lineup today, folks.
We do.
Stay
a good
with
show.
Us. Sly and the Family Stone, 1971. Everyday people. That's what I'm talking about. We're everyday people here on Monday morning. It's been 91 degrees coming up this week. It's unbelievable. I'm Johnny the Puker. Good morning. Yes. So we got to talk about the golf tournament yesterday.
Yeah.
Got to talk about it. I love major golf tournaments. That's one of my favorite things in the world. The last two rounds of a major golf tournament. I'll take that over almost anything. And I was pulling for Rory yesterday.
And how great it is to watch on TV, isn't it?
Yes.
That is a TV spectator
that
sport.
That certainly is.
I've been to those things and that.
No, you got to be on TV. You know why? Because you miss so much.
You do.
When we used to cover them, like in Tucson and Phoenix and Flint and different places, you're here getting this shot and you hear this huge roar
behind you.
And you miss that. And it's really hard to cover. Without all the different towers.
Even when they had the PGA here, you know, we went to that. And I just, you know, I like watching golf. I'm not a great golfer, but I did not enjoy it at all. I just didn't. And I was, like, I always picked the wrong hole.
Yeah.
And then you want to follow the guy. Well, if you follow a person, you got to get there so early.
By
and
the
then
time
just,
you get there, and then there's a whole bunch of other people. That
you
know,
wait
I agree.
And wait and wait.
I agree. I'm not a person to go to golf tournaments.
In TV, they got, like, 9 different cameras, and it's...
Yeah.
Anyway, so this guy,
Rory, he missed two of the shortest, most critical putts in a major tournament I've ever seen. I've seen one, we've all seen one, but two out of his last three holes that were literally this far away. And he hadn't missed one under that distance. Of the two he missed, 349 putts of that distance or less, he hasn't missed one for the year.
Really?
Not one. Not one of those days where it's cold early or the wind's really blowing and things happen. Not a single one. And he misses two of them to win a major golf tournament.
Was the weather?
Unbelievable. Weather was perfect.
Wow.
Perfect.
So he just choked.
He just choked. There's no other way you can put it. And guys will admit it. You know, there was, oh, you can't say that. He just choked. You know,
yeah,
let me tell you something. You know, there's nobody listening here, or maybe there's one person who could go out to Lambeau Field and right now kick a 58-yard field goal, okay, or a 52-yard field goal, or throw a 70-yard pass, or hit a 90-mile-an-hour fastball over the left field, okay?
Yeah.
But they can, 90% of the people out there have made putts that long.
Yeah.
So right. What I'm saying is this isn't some
like
kind
we
of thing.
Made
where,
it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
This isn't one of those things where it's like, oh, he was really in the rough and he was buried in,
right,
in an uphill
chip
lie
and
yeah, you know, all those things. It's the same putt that we've all made 1,000 times. And that's what has to just be driving him insane. He wouldn't talk to the media.
I was gonna say, what did he say?
Got in his car and just left.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Devastating.
I wonder what he was thinking about when he made the, like, if something got in his head or if he just, like, if it's too easy.
One of them, you could tell he went real quick.
Yeah.
Just went real quick.
Yeah.
And just missed it. Then the next one he studied and lipped it out.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
So yeah. Then who won?
Bryson DeChambeau.
Had he won before?
I think it's his second major, if I'm not mistaken. He's something else. You know, his whole story where he bulked up to like 275 pounds a couple of years ago so he could hit it like 400 yards. Then he got in a huge peeing match with Brooks Koepka. They hated each other and the fans would get on each other. And then he left the PGA for LIV and yada, yada, yada. So he's this almost like larger than life character. So it's almost like you either really like him or really don't like him. One of the two. One of those kind of guys.
Happens more and more in sports.
Yeah.
Hey, something, I know you follow sports much more than I do, but it's pretty cool to see these teams that they counted out, like in basketball, right? And,
yeah.
And then they come back and just really smoke that
Dallas?
Yeah.
Boston?
That one's
been going that way the whole time. One team just slaughters the other
right,
team.
Right, it's not.
Then it's
this
gets
three,
reversed.
Four, you're right.
Yeah.
So that's tonight though, right?
Yeah, nice win for Caitlin Clark and her team yesterday.
Yes,
I love Caitlin Clark. Had 23 points, beat Chicago, who has Angel Reese on their team, which her and Caitlin Clark had the big brouhaha 2 years ago in the NCAA tournament. So it's a big win for her. And
then the other thing, I try to read up so I can keep up with you, hockey, right?
Yeah, I don't follow the Stanley Cup much. I really don't.
I think that's...
It gets so long. You know what I mean? It just gets...
I don't like watching.
So long.
Yeah, but I think it was a... The team that was out, like, blew the other team away. I think that's weird how you can, you know, you come back and you don't just beat them by one or two. It's like, wasn't it 8-1 or something?
Yeah.
It's just crazy that.
Yeah.
Anyways, that's coming up. And it's nice that sports. Yeah. We have sports 12 months.
And we had I had a good time. Oh, I had a funny thing happen a little bit. So the event I hosted Saturday.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And the Packerettes were there. The 1970s Packerettes. So these are 1973 through 79, I think.
But those cheerleaders.
Cheerleaders, the Packer cheerleaders. And they were all high school girls at the time. Okay.
70s. So they're how old? They're old.
Well, my age. Exactly my age. And your age. I mean.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I'm thinking I'd add that up. Okay. So they're, 65.
But anyway, they're still cool. Like I said, you know, when I was at the games, I was in high school. And there you guys were. It's like, you know, wow, these are the coolest high school girls in all of Green Bay. All of Green Bay, there's the coolest high school girls that are Packer cheerleaders. I said, I remember thinking to myself, there's not a single one that would have dated me when I was in high school. And one of them goes, try us now.
And? All right, to be continued? Yeah, that's awesome.
But they were great. That was fun talking about that stuff. Okay, one of my buddies there, Johnny, the biggest news from the weekend is the funeral bar. Sent me pictures of a funeral home in Manitowoc. That has a bar attached to it.
Oh, that was your idea.
Yeah.
Oh,
totally my idea.
That was your idea.
I got a lot of ideas that get stolen. Yeah.
They got a liquor license.
Yeah.
And are they open when there's not a funeral? Is it truly called the funeral bar?
I don't think it is. But when they have a funeral, it's open for that.
That'd be a cool funeral bar, but maybe a little depressing.
Yeah, maybe a little bit. Yeah.
Mm. But you could, you know what I'd make some money on is, you know, people die every day. I would like honor like a celebrity if they die. I would like have them, I would celebrate them and have them come to the funeral bar. Like I'd have like a tribute to them every day. So,
oh, like you know what I'm saying? If Barry Manilow died today.
Right. I would have, you. And they'd come in, play his music. But then when there's a funeral, they would trump that, right? They would have precedence.
That I is like that not idea. A bad idea. Todd?
I'm all for it. I mean, he's the one that stopped you from doing it, right?
Yes.
I did, but I was worried about the
you
laws.
You stopped me from doing that? You stopped me from my quarterback contest? You stopped me from a lot of things, Dad.
I'm saying the reason I was concerned about your success with the funeral bar was that you were just going to honor people. And I'm like, well, if they don't want to have a bar, you could be dry for weeks. Now, with people dying, and who died today that was famous? Probably somebody we could honor them tonight. Show clippets of their films.
I like it.
Music.
I like it a lot.
Talk about their political history.
That one just went south.
What all three of you, what would the three of you like to drink?
I like this. A funeral bar.
And because.
Like on the night of the Buddy Holly anniversary of his thing or whatever? Or?
Totally.
Yeah.
We could, and like I said, if. We always honor birthdays, but they're.
Yeah.
Like, I think sometimes you look up and so-and-so, you know, could have done something on Prince.
Yeah.
That would have been cool.
Yeah.
Michael Jackson, he died on, what, June 23rd?
I like the way you're thinking.
Okay, we can make all some right. money. The funeral bar.
It's always, how do we make money? We want to honor him, but we want to make money. We got to set a quick break. Andy Van Halen, Chris Vincent, Freedom Free Fall July event coming up.
That's cool.
Going to be a cool thing. We
Drew.
Got Drew. It's coming on to talk about a film, Kim Massey, speed coaching event, Ashley Shepard, Sonder Coffee, lots of stuff back right after this.
Air podcast at civicmedia.us and on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Take Mino and the Mayor with you everywhere. Now, once again, Mino and the Mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. And what's the best word to describe it out
muggy
there right now, Drew?
Hot.
Hot. I mean, handy. Yeah, hot. Already 75 degrees in Appleton, 74 in Green Bay, 72 in Oshkosh. It's supposed to be up to 91 or 92 tomorrow. And when Andy sit for me, Andy.
Van Handel.
Van Handel. I always want to add an extra thing in there. I want to add like a Vander something.
Nope.
I always want to do Vander something.
Well, that's because there's so much of those. The Vander. There's a lot of that, but Van Handel is.
Yeah.
It's always actually easier.
Yes. And your buddy Chris Vincent will be coming from the Freedom Free Fall. I'm all over the place today. But anyway, first thing you said was, hey, this weather reminds me of the first one we did in Amro a few years ago, you and me and a handful of people.
Well, almost 10 years ago.
Is it really?
2015, yeah.
Wow.
It was so hot that day. I think it was a little warmer that day even than today, believe it or not. But.
So refresh us on exactly what this is then. You're in Amro, now you're in, tell me about it.
So the event started in Amro in 2015,
right,
where we took 9 veterans from 6 different wars in one day. Extremely hot that day. The first 2 years it was at the Drop Zone in Amro.
Yeah.
The owners since retired and they closed their doors. So we started the next 3 or 4 years where it was at the Drop Zone near Madison, just north of Madison, near Columbus, Wisconsin. The event grew. I just looking at the Facebook history of it, and I think 2018 or 2019 we put up 35 veterans that year. In 2020, it went
And people have to remember, if you have 35 veterans, you get 35 volunteers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a machine. It's turned into a big monster, which is what we've always wanted. In 2020 or so, it went to 2 different drop zones, us and the drop zone in Pulaski.
Right.
There.
Mm-hmm.
And 1 year, it was at like 6 different drop zones across the country, but we kind of scaled that back so we can make it more of an event at each drop zone rather than just shuffling the veterans through like, you know, everyday tandems.
I think you should do it like D-Day. Just have a big transport plane go over and they all go out. What do you think?
A big C-47?
Yeah.
Just push them out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That would be cool.
Yeah. So how do they qualify to be, to become a veteran that you parachute with?
They sign up through
through HOAHWI's website,
okay,
which is HOAHWI.org. And basically getting the word out. The event's been around long enough now where it's become a right. program actually on HOAHWI's website, not just an event. So they sign up, this whole application process, they submit a bio, and I think this year we had more applications than slots, which is a good
thing. That's all right. I mean,
which is a good thing. I know 1 year we were really short, like 2 weeks before the event, and our buddy Will Koken from HOAHWI put out a big Facebook message. The next day we had like 80 applications. So,
and describe it though. Describe the day.
So the day starts out. I know I'm not sure how they're doing it in Pulaski this year. Vinny will fill us in on that shortly, but we got a total of 20 veterans coming down by the drop zone of Madison. The first group, we were going to have a group of 10, actually 11, because one said she wanted morning instead of afternoon, but we'll make it work. Down in Madison, we've got three or four tandem instructors like myself, so we're going to be working, and that's all good. They'll check in with the HOAHWI people. They give them their waiver to fill out. Then they hand them over to us. They fill out our 13-page waiver.
Wow.
Gotta cover all the bases.
Yeah.
And then we train them, and in our little Cessna 182 airplanes, only two veterans can go up at a time. So it's a long day, but I'm encouraging all the veterans. I've even gotten a hold of some of the veterans that have jumped in the past to come out for the camaraderie.
Right.
To support it. And we're working on having food for the guys, and it becomes like just the general support and camaraderie that a lot of these guys have lost since they've been out of the military.
And have they jumped before? Most of them, all of them, or is it sometimes new?
Some of them are airborne. They jumped in the military.
Right.
Excuse me. But the military stuff is completely different than what we do. It's it's night and day. I mean, you're jumping out of the sky, but that's about it. But
well, tell about the guy that the year in AMRO, his last jump had been like 1952. Wasn't that right?
Yeah. So the first year in AMRO, we took Ollie, I think.
Ollie, yes.
Our World War II veteran. His last jump was in like 1940s. That's right. It was his first jump in like 70-some years, you know? So, yeah, he's an amazing guy. Amazing guy.
Well, you've done it before. That means you should do it again.
In AMRO. I jumped in AMRO.
Yeah.
Your training, though, our training was, I thought it was a little light. You know, all of a sudden, it's like we're up in a plane, you know. It's like, what do you do for training?
So these guys are doing a tandem skydive. So they're.
Okay, we didn't do that.
So. Yeah, well, maybe they didn't have it around way back
right.
then, Jim.
Yeah, but way back then, thanks. Back then, it wasn't, that wasn't what. Come
so
to
did
think
you
of it,
go on your own?
It was static line, but we jumped on our own.
Yeah,
okay. So I actually learned on the static line method. Yeah. But I went through.
And what that means is you don't have to worry about pulling the cord,
correct.
Right?
You let go of the airplane, opens on. Well,
yeah, but you still have to practice because in case there would be a malfunction, you have to arch back and pull out the emergency chute and throw the thing away. And but our training was kind of like, it wasn't a video, but it wasn't, I didn't feel real trained when I went up there. I'll
so
be honest
the,
with you.
The training we do with the guys, it starts when they start filling out the paperwork. There's a 10-minute video that they're required to watch by United Parachute Technologies, who makes the tandem skydiving gear we use. It's their waiver video, along with a 2-page waiver they have. See a trend?
Yeah. Because some guy got, somebody died up in AMRO, like back, well, it's probably in the late 70s.
Yeah, I think.
And then I think they waivers became, because we just was the guy, I think we just signed something and the guy's like, you're on your own. We're like, okay.
Yeah, and every drop zone in this country has their own waiver. And down at Seven Hills, one of the reasons I love jumping down there is there's the safety standard, and then we take it up to another level. You know, we go above and beyond. But to answer your question, the training consists with the tandem skydive. It's basically showing them how to get out of the airplane. And some of these guys might have bad knees or ankles, which in a Cessna 182, it's a tiny little airplane. We work with them. We've got a very good group of instructors that we're capable of making adjustments. Typically, it's a kneeling type exit. Obviously, with Ollie, our World War II veteran we took, we didn't have him kneel. He wanted to. He was showing us on the concrete floor of the hangar he could. But I'm like, nah, we're going to modify this a bit.
Yeah.
Do you, when you guys did a gym, because when you watch the movies, a big part of it is how they land, you know, so you don't get hurt when you land.
Yeah.
What do you guys teach them versus what they would teach, you know, in the actual military and everything?
Yeah, so
you guys land pretty soft.
Oh yeah, with our parachutes,
they make it look a lot easier. Yeah. I think ours. I just want to say, and you tandem means that you are with them. So correct. You're when we
was
were
it
alone,
chest to chest or back to back, or is it?
No,
they're on the front of the right. instructor, okay. back to the front of the instructor.
Okay,
that makes sense.
It's a big spoon.
Yeah, ours. Obviously, the instructor wears the rig, the parachute rig, to mean on reserve parachute.
And then ours, we had headsets, and they would say toggle left, toggle yeah. right oh. to pull, because you want to, I mean, you guys know what you're doing. We yeah. didn't know anything what we were doing, but you want to land kind of going backwards without, like, we don't run like these guys. They make it look so easy. We right. just, all we want to do is hit the ground right. and live. But, you know, they tell you to slow down. And I mean, right? And that's, you guys, yeah. we're on radio the whole
right.
time.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So. Our landings are actually very soft.
Yeah.
I mean, we take into consideration everything with the weather. If it gets too windy, if it gets too turbulent with the winds, which this year it's been that way almost every weekend. But we go above and beyond for safety, too.
Yeah.
And we have ram air parachutes, meaning they do have a forward speed. We can steer them with the steering toggles. And when we come into land, we flare the parachute, which is essentially a non-rigid wing. So when we flare the parachute wing, it actually like flaps on an airplane wing. It'll slow our forward speed down. We touch down, nice soft landing.
Wow.
It's amazing how accurate you guys are and how accurate you wanted us to be. We sure. were all in the same area,
yeah.
but and then you're supposed to get at, when we land, you're supposed to get up and run around to like stop the chute from being.
Yeah.
You know,
this.
Oh, bet I could. So, I bet that could take you for a ride. Yeah, couldn't it?
It can.
And yeah. bet it can.
It's a little bit different with tandem because we got one brain or two brains and four legs.
Yeah.
It doesn't
yeah.
quite work to run. So we typically land sliding on our butts because we don't want any forward speed. We don't trip over anybody. If it is a little bit breezy, well, we have catchers on the ground where.
Oh.
As soon as we land, we hand them the steering toggles. They'll pull them and they'll collapse our parachute for us.
Yes.
It's very difficult to do.
When you didn't offer that to us.
I can imagine. Who folds the parachutes and everything?
The instructor does.
Okay.
I know some places they teach the students on jump number one that they can pull. And the way the tandem gear is set up is that there's actually a deployment handle on either side. So. You know, if they grab an arm or something, we've got a free arm. And
so when you jumped in the military, how many jumps did you make?
I actually didn't jump at all in the military.
Oh, you didn't? You did it afterwards then?
I actually went up to my company commander when I was in the National Guard because
right.
at the time I had, several skydives, maybe 50 or 100, and to see if that would transition into getting my airborne wings in the military. He laughed and said, no, it's completely different.
You still have to start from ground zero
yeah.
through the whole thing.
Yep.
That's rough training, I've heard, huh?
Yep.
How high are you when you jump?
So I'd be really high.
Some of us were. 5, 6, 4, 3? Where were you
at? So with the tandem skydive in our small airplanes, we go up to 10,000 feet.
Wow.
Mostly because the little airplanes really won't climb much higher, especially in the summertime. Not efficiently anyway. You could go higher, but you're going to burn a ton of fuel. And when it's hot, the airplanes climb much, much slower as well.
I just remember the guy saying, and I took advantage of it after, you know, the reality struck in, but it is beautiful. I mean, you're up there. It is so peaceful. And I just remember seeing a bunch of farms, which kind of yeah, Ramro anyway.
I spent 9 years at the drop zone in Pulaski and up there, man, on a clear day.
It's unbelievable.
You can see the whole Door Peninsula all the way up to Washington Island.
Really?
Down in Madison where we jump, I mean, most days you can see Madison real well. We're about 20 minutes north of Madison. On a very clear day, you can see the skyline of Milwaukee right
wow.
on the horizon.
Wow. Yeah.
That 100 miles.
Last year, we were battling the wildfire smoke.
Oh, yeah.
So that's right.
The visibility wasn't great, you know.
But I think it's like, oh, I'm going to, you know, I don't want to die type thing. But once the reality sets in, like, wait a minute, I got 3 minutes to enjoy this
yeah.
view. Like he said, it's
the sensation?
It's just. There's nothing like it, right? I mean, well, yeah, you've done it 100 times. I've done it once.
There's no way to explain it.
Right. Somebody told me once that it's more of a feeling that the ground is rising to you than you're going to the ground.
Sort of. I mean, if you get ground rush with skydiving, you're too low. You should probably open a parachute up. I mean, there's no, there really isn't a ground rush. I mean,
okay.
it's, you feel like you're floating more or less.
That's okay.
Yeah. And you can hear the wind. You can feel the wind.
Oh, yeah,
but
you can hear the wind.
You don't get that stomach sinking, falling.
Oh, you don't,
sensation.
Huh?
Okay. No, none of that.
But there's a point, you know, I don't, like I said, you know, you've done it 100 times, but there's a point where it's like, look, I'm going to live. Yeah. I really want to enjoy this, because there's, I was one of those guys that I'm never going to do this again type thing, you know, but yeah, it just, it's very, very cool. I think, and that's really neat that you take people up there a little bit older, you know, because that's, I don't know, just a treat in life.
That's one thing where skydiving, even since I've been skydiving in 99, tandem skydiving was fairly big.
Right.
When I started skydiving in 99, it was done under tandem skydiving. It was done under exemption to the FAA rules. And now all tandem instructors have to have a class 3 medical, which is the same one a student pilot has to have. And they, because of that, now it's part of everyday skydiving. But it's really revolutionized who we can take. I mean, I've seen people, I've taken people who literally can't use their legs, and we've made it work.
That's awesome.
So, I mean, there's a lot of extra things we have to do.
So the people that you take, I would just think there'd be a huge market for non-veterans, but your focus and your energy is on veterans.
Yeah, that's. Yeah, and I do the, like every weekend. I'm skydiving, taking, you know, a lot. We get a lot of college students from UW down by Madison, but yeah, it's a lot. Almost anybody can make a skydive now.
Wow, and but your event, what you do, what you're known for, are taking veterans, and these people, you kind of honor them, right? They talk about them when you take them up,
absolutely,
and bring them down, absolutely. And there's family there
it's a cool thing. We encourage
families and friends and obviously other veterans to come support.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And there's nothing like it, right? Yeah. I mean, you know that better than anybody.
I used to show up
just in case somebody couldn't make it. I'd be like the fill-in.
Here we go. Yeah.
So, what?
Johnny, how many? Johnny, tell us about, well, when we get back, tell us about your skydiving experience.
When I was in the 82nd or 101st. Yes, hit a quick break.
That's what was his number as a fill-in. You know?
Fine. I'll be back with more after.
Crazy about Elvis, loves horses. And her boyfriend too.
Hey, welcome back. Mind on the Mayor here, and a good looking Monday morning in 97.9 FM WGBW, 98.3 FM WSS. The Civic Media app is still beautiful out there right now. Appleton 75, Green Bay 74, Oshkosh 72. We're talking about skydiving, the Freedom Freefall July event coming up. Andy Van Handel is here. Chris Vincent will be joining us. We're going to talk a little bit more about how veterans can take part in something like this, and you don't have to have airborne experience.
No.
And one of the ladies I know that was instrumental in formulating something like this, and it wasn't even an organization at the time. It was just like she wanted to get into skydiving, lost her fiance and everything, and she was taking up people with post-traumatic stress.
Yeah.
And that was really helping, wasn't it? I mean, that's kind of like where this all began, wasn't it?
Yeah, you know, I started skydiving November of 1999. It was actually warm in November for a few years there, believe it or not. But I remember, and I've told this story quite often, when 9/11 hit, and rightfully so, most aircraft were grounded for a few weeks after 9/11, right? But I remember going out to the drop zone and feeling...
Your buddy's knocking on the window.
Yeah, Vinny's here. But I remember being grounded and being at the drop zone and just being angry, because skydiving was like, that's our drug. Like,
yeah, right.
And like, I remember the girl I started skydiving with when we broke up, you know, I was all depressed, all that. I remember going out to the drop zone, a little bit depressed, but then I made a jump with a guy who had a few thousand skydives. I had like 50 or 60 at the time. It was just like this epiphany jump
going, right.
And went off. I'm like, this isn't what I do anymore. This is who I am. It defined me as a person. So yeah, it's pretty amazing.
But I think it has helped a lot of people.
Oh, 100%. In fact, one of our veterans, I believe he's jumping in Pulaski this year. Dennis, he's a Vietnam veteran. He jumped with the program a couple times, and he told me after his second jump, he's just like, I don't know what it did, but I can open up now. I can talk about everything.
Isn't that something?
And I think that is, I, I don't know the psychology behind skydiving or jumping, but it is, I don't know, not a cleansing thing, but it's a new level of something that people don't do. And I think it just breaks the seal of like, okay, this is cool. I can do this. Yeah. You're skydiving, and maybe that does allow you to talk a little bit more about, geez, something that I was kind of holding back on.
I think it's so much because it's such a very much in the moment thing. Like,
right.
When I'm jumping, there is absolutely nothing else I'm thinking about.
Right.
There's a guy who runs a podcast called the Lunatic Fringe Podcast, and he was saying he took a break from skydiving because he found himself in free fall angry about something that was happening on the ground. He's like, that's when I knew I had to quit for a bit. And then all of a sudden, a few years later, his buddy comes out and says, hey, you want to go make a jump? He's like, I felt nervous. This guy's got like 10,000 skydives, but hasn't jumped in a while. He's like, that's when I knew it was time to get back.
Wow.
Yeah.
Vinny, how you doing?
Good. How about you guys?
Good. Good to see you.
Good. Been a while.
Yes. I know. And you too jump out of planes for a living? Enjoyment?
Are you nuts?
A little bit.
Someone's got to run this show from the ground, and that's this guy.
That's you, okay. Well, thanks for what you're doing. We were just talking about how the Freedom Free Fall, the Freedom Free Fall, that you, it's different locations, Madison, Amroll, or it used to be in Amroll, Pulaski. How can it be like really therapeutic?
It is.
Someone, and I'm just saying therapeutic. I was, we're talking to Andy earlier, you know, I had done a jump and I thought it was therapeutic for me. And I was just some, you know, high college student. So, I mean, I was some college student, I should say.
Well,
I don't know, Todd.
I said this before, but the story's worth retelling. We need to get at Amroll. I think at 12 people, you gave a discount. For pricing, like I think it was, I don't know, like say $100. If you got 12 people, it was like $75.
Yeah, most drop zones offer a discount
like with a group.
A group,
right? And I think the group was 12 or 15. So yeah. I was at St. Norbert then, and I wanted to get a group. So I, in the lunch line when you walk through, I just wrote, "You want to get high? Call room 212," which was my room, and people called.
It's unbelievable, Todd. I know.
What's this all about? And I'm like, "Oh, you want to go skydiving?" And I talked people into it. I got the 12 people. We went down there, and it was like $75 instead of like $150.
Yeah.
Anyway, but therapeutic, nonetheless. You're this speck looking over, like, I don't know how many miles you can see. 60 miles is unbelievable.
You're jumping out of Pulaski, you can see almost three counties.
Yeah,
really?
Right?
Huh? Yeah, they say it's just beautiful.
Yep, 10,000 feet. I mean, you can see a lot up there.
So how long, if you jump at 10,000 feet, how long does it take to get to the ground then?
5-7 minutes somewhere. Okay.
Depends how low you pull your parachute.
Yeah, I guess.
Right. And you know, it all depends too, like size of the instructor and then the size of their jumper.
You know, I have to ask, when I did a story out there on one of the first people that were involved with this, somebody we both know really well, but there was a club that was also going to be doing some jumping where they do like stunts and weird stuff and competition. Yeah. How do people control themselves before the parachute opens? How can they do that stuff? How can they be way far and then all of a sudden come together in a ring and stuff like that?
So that's part of the whole training to get your basic skydiving license. You learn the basic skills, and now they got these wind tunnels. I think the closest one to here is near Chicago, but they practice their free fall skills. And basically, you're in free fall at 120 to 130 miles an hour. You're pushing on the air with different surfaces, control surfaces on your body.
So it's almost like a swimming type of sensation.
Yeah, sorta. Sorta.
Wow. Or skiing, right? A water skiing. I mean, when you push, you move, right?
Yep.
And with that wind tunnel, I didn't even know they had that. There's one in Chicago?
Oh, Rosemont, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That sounds like fun, actually.
That does.
Yeah.
And you just, because you're right, I suppose if you would push your left arm, you would, you know,
yep,
go right.
Yep.
And,
so
well, that's how they learn how to connect. Because I was about the same thing.
How do they do that?
Pretty cool. You get four or five guys. It's like, wait, how are you guys going to hold hands?
Like, you know, you can pull up YouTube videos and you go down the rabbit hole, the wormhole, and see these for hours. You can see these videos and a lot of these guys make it look super easy.
It does.
It's not, and it takes a lot of practice. The thing with skydiving that one instructor told me years ago, where our sport is not good, is we only get a 30-second window on each skydive to practice our free fall skills.
Yeah, that's true.
And then we have to open a parachute, obviously,
that's
right?
True. Right.
Yep. That's where wind tunnels have revolutionized it.
Cause that's
can be in the tunnel for hours.
Right. Craziest sport in the world. Those guys that those flying suits, they're almost like a flying squirrel.
The wingsuits, yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that's
Would you ever do that?
I've got about 130 wingsuit jumps, but
that you've done?
Yeah, not off of cliffs or anything like that. That's the stuff that's real visual where they go buzzing
go through
by,
these tunnels like in ravines. Yeah. Yeah.
That is
that's oh my a God. Whole different thing.
So. How would I be at that?
Yeah, right. Splat.
Here's a quick break. A lot more stuff coming up today. Stay with us. I get up and nothing.